And we would like to welcome His Grace Gauranga Darshan Das Prabhuji here, and who is going to enlighten us from Canto 5, Chapter 20, Verse 29 and 30. Before that, do we have an introduction for Prabhuji today, Tiffany Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
So if I may kindly request you to go ahead and introduce His Grace. Thank you so much, Mata.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today, we are so fortunate to have with us His Grace Gauranga Darshan Das. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami and is an Associate Dean of Academic Affairs of the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapith Research Center at Govardhan Eco Village. He is a member of the ISKCON Board of Examinations, and he holds a master's degree from the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore. He teaches Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Vaishnava character courses at Govardhan Eco Village and at several places in India. Gauranga Darshan Das has written several books, including Gita Subodhini, Bhagavat Subodhini, Chaitanya Subodhini, forgive me, Disapprove But Not Disown, Bhagavat Pravaha, and Gita, The Jewel Box. He has special fondness for reciting and meditating scriptural verses, meditating on scriptural verses, and has compiled shloka books, namely Gita Ratnamala, Bhagavat Ratnamala, Chaitanya Ratnamala, and Bhagavat Tattvamala. He also runs a free monthly e-magazine called Bhagavat Pradipika and regularly writes educational and devotional articles that also appear in Back to Godhead Magazine International and in multiple Indian language editions. He is known for his lucid spiritual talks with captivating visuals and also presentations that give a bird's eye view of an entire book or section. So far, he has delivered over 4,500 hours of spiritual discourse, and he has guided several students in their Shastric study. He also oversees deity worship at Govardhan Eco Village. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, welcome to the call.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Welcome to the call once again. Thank you so much for your association, Prabhu. Whenever you're ready, Prabhuji, you may take the call over and we will proceed from Canto 5, Chapter 20, Verse 29 and 30. Whenever you're ready.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshuram Velitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guron Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sabrajata Sahagana Raghunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Scham He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani నిర్విశేషన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశకారిణి జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాదు గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 5 చాప్టర్ 20 టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 29. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ ప్రోస్ నాట్ పోయట్రీ, సో వి విల్ రీడ్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ డైరెక్ట్లీ. కెన్ సమ్ స్క్రోల్ ఇట్ డౌన్ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ రీడ్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. యా. Outside the ocean of yogurt is another island known as Pushkara Dvipa, which is 6,400,000 yojanas wide, twice as wide as the ocean of yogurt. It is surrounded by an ocean of very tasteful water as broad as island itself. On Pushkara Dvipa, there is a great lotus flower with thousands of pure golden petals, as effulgent as the flames of fire. The lotus flower is considered the sitting place of Lord Brahma, who is the most powerful living being and who is therefore sometimes called Bhagavan. Next shloka, translation. Can you scroll down? Whoever. Okay. In the middle of the island is a great mountain called Manasottara Mountain, which forms the boundary between the inner side and the outer side of the island. Its breadth and height are 10,000 yojanas. On that mountain, in the four directions, are the residential quarters of the demigods such as Indra. In the chariot of the sun god, the sun travels on the top of the mountain in an orbit called the Samvatsara, encircling Mount Meru. The sun's path on the northern side is called Uttarayana, and its path on the southern side is called Dakshinayana. One side represents day for the demigods, and the other side represents their night, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The movement of the sun is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Yasyajnaya bhramati samhrita kala chakraham. The sun orbits around Mount Sumeru for 6 months on the northern side and for 6 months on the southern. This adds up to the duration of a day and night of the devatas in the upper planetary systems. Hare Krishna. So this is from the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, where we see Sukadeva Goswami describing the structure of the universe. So, in the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see in the fifth canto, second half, Sukadeva Goswami describes the topic of sthanam. Sthanam means the positioning of various living beings in different planetary systems. So sthanam actually is position. So what is position here? It's like keeping the living beings in different places according to what they deserve. So that is sthanam here, the geography of the universe. There are 84 lakhs of species in all planetary systems, and the Lord is kind enough to create different planets so that these people are given the suitable residences according to their consciousness and according to what they deserve. So the Lord has created this whole world, material universe, in response to the independent mentality of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul has a mentality to enjoy separately from Krishna, not by serving Krishna and by loving Krishna, but to imitate Krishna, right? Instead of seeing Krishna as a protector, the conditioned soul tends to see Krishna as a competitor. That's why the Lord has to manifest this entire creation. So, material creation, bhutva bhutva praliyate, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, this creation is manifested at certain time and it's wrapped up and it's withdrawn at another time. So this creation, this material creation, is not like the spiritual world that continuously exists. So in the spiritual world, there is no need for any creation or destruction, because the spiritual world and all the personalities in the spiritual world, their bodies, they're all eternal. They are spiritual in nature. They are never subjected to any destruction. So, there is no need for any creation there. The creation exists only in the material world. So, the universe, material universe, comes from the Lord's body in a small seed form, pradhana. It gets transformed into mahatattva, then ahamkara, then comes the false ego, then comes the three material modes. They manifest, they become more prominent, and through these three material modes, the false ego manifests different ingredients for the manifestation of the material universe. Okay, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the five material elements, and the senses and the sense objects, and the devatas, mind, intelligence. So everything is manifested. So you are getting some disturbance from my side. Just give me 1 second.
It just ended, Prabhuji. It stopped.
It's okay, yeah.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So the Lord has manifested this entire material creation so that the conditioned soul can exist here and exercise their independent mentality. So, you know, as a part of this creation, the description of this creation, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that in this Bhumandala, first he describes the horizontal structure of the universe. In the 5th canto, from 16th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami begins his description of the creation. So 16th chapter goes in describing the middlemost dvipa, or the island in this Bhumandala. So in the middle of that Bhumandala, we have this Sumeru mountain, and Ganga descends on that Sumeru mountain and divides herself into 4 parts. And also we see in the Jambudvipa, the middlemost island of the Jambudvipa, in the entire Bhumandala, there are 9 varshas, means 9 tracts of land. So the inhabitants of this 9 tracts of land offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord in their favorite forms, right? Some people offer prayers to Varaha Devu, some people to Narasimha Devu, some people to Lord Ramachandra. So like that, they offer prayers, and all those prayers are very beautifully described in the 17th chapter, second half, in 18th chapter and 19th chapter. Then the 20th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami further elaborates on the structure of this Bhumandala, the entire universe, and the horizontal structure of this universe, that is Bhumandala. Bhumandala is like a disk in the middle of the universe, kind of separating or kind of making the universe into 2 halves. Okay, it's like a disk, not exactly like a disk, not so flat. It has some ups and downs also. So it's in the middle. So now he's discussing the structure of Bhumandala. If you remember, in the first chapter of the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, we saw Priyavrata Maharaj was once displeased with the movements of the sun. So sun is giving light on one side of the universe, and people on the other side of the earth, they are not getting sunlight naturally. So it's night for them. So somehow Priyavrata wanted light for them also during the night time. So he expanded himself into the sun god, another sun, second sun, replica sun. And he started giving light on the other side as sun is moving on this side. Now sun is moving in one way, when giving light to one side of the earth, and Prayavrata is moving on the other side, giving light to the other side. Looks like there is daytime throughout. So while Prayavrata was moving around in Bhumandala, in his attempt to give light to people, he made some ditches in the Bhumandala. And the ditches formed the seven great oceans. And all these ditches are the oceans are of the shape of a ring. So seven rings, which are seven oceans, and these seven rings separated seven islands. So like that, in this entire Bhumandala, there are seven islands and seven great oceans. So this couple of verses that we just read today, they are discussing about these deepas and the movements of the sun. So now, the Lord has manifested this whole universe to house conditioned souls who are averse to a sense of subordination to the Lord. So, but the details of the creation are unlimited. There are seven islands and seven oceans in the Bhumandala, and there are 14 planetary systems. Above this Bhuloka, there are other six lokas: Bhuvarloka, Swarloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka. And below this Bhumandala, there are seven more planetary systems. They are Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Mahatala, Patala. These are different lower planetary systems. They are small. So why 14 planetary systems? Why 84 lakhs of species? They are not just 14 planets, they are planetary systems. Right? They are different planes where multiple planets are there. And why so much complication in this universe? And this whole universe is covered by different layers of material elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether. And the layers are thick, very thick. One layer is thicker, twice thicker than the other layer. So like that, as we move towards the end of the universe, we find the layers becoming bigger. So in this way, we see that the whole universe structure is quite complicated. And within Bhagavatam, the details given about the universe are very limited. And there are many other books like Bhugola Varnan and many other books and the commentaries of Acharyas that describe various details of this this universe. So why such a complicated system or network of material planets and material facilities are created for the conditioned souls? The reason is the conditioned soul doesn't agree to surrender to Krishna. The conditioned soul doesn't show any inclination to serve Krishna and to love Krishna, although Krishna is the supreme well-wisher. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhrudam sarva bhutanam jnatvamam shanti mruchyati. So Krishna is the bhokta, means he is the supreme enjoyer of all the sacrifices that we do. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Krishna is the supreme Ishwara, the proprietor of all planets. Suhrudam sarva bhutanam, Krishna is also the intimate friend of all living beings. But the conditioned souls want to take Krishna's position. Why? Krishna is the creator, controller, master, enjoyer, proprietor. I want to be the proprietor, I want to be the controller, I want to be the enjoyer, I want to be well-wisher, right? So sometimes some philanthropists might say that God has negated all these poor people, I am feeding them. Okay, so they kind of want to take the position of God. They want to directly or indirectly compete with God, either in enjoyment or in protecting people, or in claiming proprietorship over this land. Mother Earth laments seeing these kings. In the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, in the 3rd chapter, there is a beautiful song called Bhumi Gita. Bhumi Gita means the song sung by Mother Earth. So this Mother Bhumi, she laments seeing the condition of people who are living on her surface. So she was thinking that so and so king came and he claimed proprietorship over me. He said that this land is mine, this earth is mine. And after this fellow, another king came and he also said the same thing, this land is mine. And after a few decades or a couple of centuries, in those days, another king came and he said, this is mine. And this king has been defeated by another king. And this entire land went to the kingdom of another emperor. And naturally, some devotees, some kings died. Okay, then also the proprietorship is lost. It's like that, many kings and landlords are wealthy people, or common human beings also, they are claiming proprietorship over Mother Earth, saying that this is mine, this is mine, this is my land, this is not, this is my land. See this paper, see this government authorized document, this land belongs to me. So like that, people claim proprietorship over this land. But whose land is this? This entire land or entire earth and entire universe with hundreds and thousands of planets, they all exist only for one breathing period of Mahavishnu. Yasyaiva nishvasita kala matavalambhya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha. Yasyaika nishvasita kala matavalambhya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha. So, Jagadandanatha, all these millions of universes, which are like eggs, Jagadanda, they exist only for one breathing period of Mahavishnu. When he exhales, they manifest. When he inhales, they disappear. So, within the period of breathing, one breathing period of Mahavishnu, one entire life of Brahma is there, which is 100 years. One day of Brahma is equivalent to 1000 Divya Yugas. One Divya Yuga is equivalent to 4 Yugas. Satya Yuga, Trita Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. 4 Yugas put together is 1 Divya Yuga. Like the 1000 Divya Yugas are there within one day of Brahma. And Brahma lives like that for 100 years. And such a big duration of Brahma's life is just one breathing period of Mahavishnu. How insignificant are we? But we claim proprietorship. This is my room. This is my house. So, yes, as long as some property is there within the care of a human being, one may have to maintain it, one may have to protect it, one may have to take care of that property, but with a full understanding that this is not mine, this belongs to Krishna, and this is manifested because I have a tendency to claim proprietorship over things, and I have a tendency to enjoy and control things just to satisfy my controlling mentality. The Lord has created this. Otherwise, it doesn't belong to me. So, now, the purpose of the creation of this entire material universe is just to give us an opportunity to again surrender to Krishna, right? So, now, because the conditioned souls have material desires, they get material bodies in different material planets to fulfill those desires, right? So, while fulfilling those desires, they are also given opportunities to perform bhakti yoga, because the Lord also gives opportunities to such people to interact with devotees, to study scriptures and to perform bhakti yoga. So in this way, the Lord gives some opportunity to people to enjoy and fulfill their material desires. At the same time, get frustrated in those attempts to realize that this is not the right place for me. Okay. So enjoyment is there, frustration is also there. But enjoyment is meant to fulfill their idle curiosity to enjoy things. And frustration is there to make them realize that this is not a right place for me. Fine. And further, we have the scriptures and acharyas. And the Lord personally comes as incarnations to reclaim all of us. So, in these 5 ways, enjoyment, frustration, then acharyas, scriptures, and incarnations. In all these five ways, Krishna tries to reclaim us. I think in this forum only some time back, a couple of months back, I was discussing that mother and child example, where the mother gives some toy utensils, toy kitchen set to a child who wants to cook on his or her own without eating the food which is lovingly cooked by mother. Okay, independent mentality. They want to imitate the mother in cooking. They want to become independent cooks. Similarly, the conditioned souls want to become independent enjoyers. Okay, so the purpose of this creation is beautifully described in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. It says, Yanmaya cheshtitam tum saham sthityutpatyapyayayahi anugrahastan nevratte atmalabhaya cheshyate yan maya cheshtitah pumsah. Maya cheshta means the activities of the Supreme Lord done through his maya, through the material energy. Pumsah means the Purushavataras. So, what are they? Sthiti utpatti apyayayahi. Utpatti means creation. Sthiti means maintenance. Apyayaya means withdrawal or destruction. Basically, creation, maintenance, and destruction. These three things are done by the Supreme Lord through the material energy. Why does he do it? Anugrahastan nivrattir atma labhaya cheshyate. Anugraha, out of his compassion for all of us, he does this. He is creating material world and he is maintaining the material world, he is destroying the material world. This is anugraha. Is this mercy upon us? He is entangling us more and more in the material world. Why can't he just take us to the spiritual world and give us opportunity to enjoy forever? Okay, one may have this kind of doubt. But Bhagavatam clearly says that the Lord creates, maintains and enjoys and destroys out of his pure compassion, anugraha. Out of his compassion, he is doing these material activities. Ultimately, nothing that he does is material, but he is dealing with the matter. To induce a feeling of detachment in all of us. Atma labhaya, for our welfare, is doing this, right? So that our inclination to enjoy this material world will be diminished by getting frustrated in our attempts to enjoy. Okay. So when the Lord is creating this material world, it is in response to the conditioned souls. Eagerness to enjoy separate from Krishna. And when the Lord is withdrawing this material world, that is out of his frustration. How can the Lord get frustrated? Because he was thinking, especially Lord Sankarsana, the Lord in the form of Sankarsana, he thinks that I have given these people a chance to rectify their rebellious mentality. Okay. I have given another chance, but these people did not utilize this chance. So the Lord gets frustrated, he becomes angry. Fire emanates from his mouth and he burns the entire universe. Right? And the entire universe is withdrawn into Mahavishnu's body. And after some time, anugraha. He will again become compassionate and he creates the world again. So like that, repeatedly he creates and maintains, giving us another opportunity. Just like the mother tries to tell the child, hey, you should not cook. I am cooking and feeding you. Why are you wanting to cook on your own? But the child doesn't listen. So the mother says, okay, fine, try cooking. So the mother gives some toy kitchen set so that the child just tries to cook for a while. And then he gets frustrated because whatever the child is cooking, imitating the mother, that will not satisfy the hunger of the child. So he will come to mother only. Similarly, when just like mother has given some toys to the child, the Lord will give material world to the conditioned soul. And the conditioned soul tries to enjoy imitating Krishna and he will get frustrated and he will come back to Krishna only. Okay, enough. Enough of this material enjoyment. I cannot be master, controller, creator. I can only be happy in your company, in your service, in your loving protection. So Krishna is looking forward for this moment where we turn to Krishna and say, that, oh Lord, I'm yours. Please take me back into your loving company. Okay, please embrace me. So recently we were discussing Ramayana because of Ramanavami. So Vibhishan came to Lord Ramachandra and said, Ram, I have taken your shelter. I have rejected Ravana, my demonic brother. So I'm taking your shelter. Ram said, what to speak of Vibhishan? Even if Ravana personally comes here, I will forgive him. I will give shelter. Right? Sakradeva prapannoyam. Even if one goes in front of Lord Ramachandra and says, my dear Lord, I'm yours, then the Lord will accept that person as his servant, gives shelter to that person. So this is the Lord's forgiving nature. Even if the conditioned soul commits many sinful activities and abominable activities and takes birth as a worm in stool or an ant or an insect or a wolf or a fox or a crocodile, the Lord continues to stay within those souls' hearts also, within those people's hearts also as super soul. The Lord never disowns us. The Lord's kindness is so deep. Okay. So, the Lord is always eager to give His mercy to us. But the conditioned soul is not sufficiently eager to receive that mercy. Okay. So, the devotees of the Lord are the representatives of the Lord. Their only job is to inspire people to come closer to the Lord, to perform bhakti to the Lord, to recognize Krishna's mercy and accept Krishna's mercy and enter His loving company. That's the attempt of all devotees, and that's the whole process of bhakti yoga. That is bhakti yoga. Okay. So, and the Lord personally comes also, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tabishkrutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So, to protect virtuous people and to punish vicious people and to establish dharma, to teach common people how to do, what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, the Lord comes personally also. This is because of His love, because of His kindness. So, the Lord could have negated, these people don't love me, why should I bother about them? No, the Lord wants all of us. Although the conditioned soul is not interested in relationship with the Lord is very much interested in that relationship with that conditioned soul. That's why He is creating this world. So much complicated network of creation is there because people have multiple desires. Why 14 planetary systems? Why can't one planetary system? Somebody asked me recently. okay, you go to a shopping mall. Why so many sections are there in the shopping mall for you to purchase? Okay, you can enter some cloth shop and there are multiple colors of dresses, multiple types of dresses. Why? Because people have multiple tastes. Because people have different desires to dress themselves in different ways. So much variety is there. If you take one phone, why so many apps are there? Hundreds of apps are there. Why? Because people have so many desires, right? There are three modes. The three modes mix with each other and become 9. And the 9 mix with each other and become 81. Okay. Like that, the three modes combine with each other and form multiple modes, and conditioned souls, the materialistic living beings are affected by a unique combination of modes. And because of being influenced by unique combinations of modes, they have unique material desires, different flavors of material desires. Eating. They have hundreds of ways of eating. Not only hundreds of items, but hundreds of ways in which they want to eat. Some people want to eat in very low light. Some people want to eat in bright light. Some people want to just sit in the forest and eat like Krishna and Balaram and all the Gopas. Some people want to eat in restaurant. Some people want to eat in swimming pool, right? So different ways in which people exercise their desires. Even the basic things of eating, sleeping, eating, defending also. Just to do these four things, different living beings have different styles of doing these four things. And even amongst human beings also, there are different ways of doing these things. Because everybody is uniquely influenced by a unique combination of modes. Different planetary systems have to be manifested. Okay, so much of variety is there, because variety is there in the desires. Why variety is there? So much variety in desire. Why you want to enjoy in a variety of ways? Because your souls, Krishna wants to enjoy in multiple ways. Akhila Ramrita Murti. Why there are multiple rasas? Why there are 12 rasas? 5 prominent rasas and then 7 secondary rasas. Why can't Krishna enjoy in one rasa? One rasa is sufficient, right? But he has multiple rasas. Why Krishna has multiple forms? Because he wants to enjoy. Why Krishna has multiple servants and multiple planets in the spiritual world? Why Krishna has to be offered 56 items in a day? So, because Krishna has the ability to enjoy varieties and varieties of flavors of enjoyment, and he can simultaneously reciprocate with different people in different ways. Okay, he can show affection on Prahlada with one eye, and he can show anger on Hiranyakashipu with the other eye. Simultaneously also he can do this. That is the Lord's speciality. So, as amshas of the Lord, as minute parts and parcels of the Lord, we also have desires to enjoy. So, because of association with material nature, those material desires will manifest in different ways. And to fulfill those material desires, the Lord will create 84 lakh species. So you have desire to eat meat unrestrictedly. Human body is not proper for that. You become a lion. You become a tiger. The Lord says that. Okay, they will become tigers and lions. Oh, you have this desire. Okay, become this insect. You have that desire. You become a tree. Okay, so because of all these desires, there are different forms and different planets to accommodate all these people. So now in a school, there may be 10 floors. Okay, first floor is for first standard students, second floor, second grade students, third floor, third grade students, ground floor for administration office and principal room and staff room and library, top floor is for the 10th grade students. So there is segregation. Okay. Now every single student within say 5th grade is unique, but all of them belong to one category, 5th grade, maybe one age group. Similarly, although every living being is unique in their desires and in the way they are influenced by modes, but you can keep some living beings in one group. Okay, they all can come under one group, one box, because of certain parameters. So, devatas, one planet. Human beings, one planet. Nagas, snakes, another planet. Okay. So, like that, the Lord also creates different categories of living beings like yakshas, kinnaras, kimpurushas, nagas, then human beings. Within human beings, there are different sections, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, brahmanas. Okay. So, like that, aquatics. So, like that, the Lord creates multiple species because of the different types of mentalities of people. So those who have little, somewhat common inclinations, they are put in one group and they are put in one planet. All people who have little elevated consciousness, they are predominating mode of goodness, okay, stay in Svargalok. Okay. So if one is too much into passion, okay, you can stay in the earthly plane. You are too much into goodness, okay, you have to get into Svargaloka plane, on a material plane. So like that, the Lord is creating so many planets. So that's the purpose of creation. But ultimately, the purpose of creation is to reclaim the conditioned souls back into the loving company of the Lord. Okay. So now, having discussed a little bit about creation and the purpose of creation, let us see, can we not be a part of creation? Can we just come out of this whole creation procedure? Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Can we not be? We means we are never created. The soul doesn't have a birth or death. That is clear. Na jayate mriyate vakadachinnayam bhutva bhavita na bhuyaha. That is clear. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. But our bodies have been created. Okay, we are entering near and near bodies, created bodies. And they are created according to our inclinations, our mentalities, and our activities, karmas. So, can we not be a part of this kind of creation? Can we terminate this process of repeated birth and death cycle and transmigration process? Can we do that? Yeah, we can do that. If you remember, there is a popular creation chart in ISKCON, where all the planetary systems, within material universe are depicted. Durga Devi is one corner and Mahavishnu is there, Garbhodaksha Vishnu is there, millions of universes are coming out, and spiritual world, Goloka is seen, and my different Vaikuntha planets are seen. You see that picture? If you have keenly noticed it, there is the material universe and there is spiritual world where Krishna and Radha Krishna are staying. So there is one nice Hare Krishna Mahamantra line that connects from the material universe to Krishna's lotus feet. If you have noticed it, there's a lot of message in that. Just by taking shelter of the holy name of Krishna, you can reach the spiritual world. You can get out of this complicated network of material creation. Okay, don't just absorb yourself studying how matter works. See, Sankhya means analysis of matter and spirit. Atheistic Sankhya is just analyzing matter only without acknowledging spirit. Okay, but devotees also do Sankhya. Within Bhagavatam there is Sankhya, within Bhagavad Gita there is Sankhya, Kapila speaks Sankhya, Uddhava Gita, Krishna speaks Sankhya, and Hamsavatar speaks Sankhya. So Sankhya is there for us, but we analyze both matter and spirit, and we recognize that the Supreme Lord is the source of both that matter and spirit. That is our analysis. So after so much of analysis of this material world, if you don't come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Creator, and we are all spiritual beings and not material beings, and if we surrender to Krishna, we can get out of this material world. That should be the conclusion of Sankhya. If the Sankhya does not lead to bhakti, devotion to God, that Sankhya is material Sankhya. So, Bhagavatam presents several details of the universe. We can study them according to our bandwidth. Many devotees find this creation whole process and the cosmology section of Bhagavatam very austere to follow. Especially movements of sun is very difficult for me. When sun is moving, then I cannot move, my brain cannot move properly. Other things are fine, little relatable, but movements of sun is little difficult to understand. But anyways, we study this cosmology to the best of our ability, but we need to understand why the cosmos exists. What is the purpose of this creation of this entire material world, material universe and material universes? So we have seen the description of that. We have seen the purpose of this creation. And we also need to see the heart of Krishna behind this creation. So why Krishna is repeatedly giving us a chance to surrender to him? Because he loves us. And then some people have this common question. Why can't just Krishna stop this whole birth and death cycle in this material creation? Why can't he just take all of us back to spiritual world? Yeah, he can do that. He can do it within a moment. But he doesn't do that. Why? He doesn't want force and love. He doesn't want to hypnotize us. He doesn't want to program us. We are not laptops. We are not computers. We are not machines. Okay? We are living beings. So the symptom of a living being is the ability to desire. Some free will, some independence. So Krishna gives us some independence as much as we deserve, and Krishna doesn't interfere with that independence. And by using that independence, if we love him and serve him, Krishna accepts us into his loving company. But if we misuse that independence and behave in whimsical ways, then Krishna will do the needful to allow us to transmigrate in the cycle of birth and death, right? So, we have to voluntarily use our independence, our free will, our ability to desire, to love Krishna, to serve Krishna. Okay? We have to voluntarily choose to chant the holy names of Krishna and get out of this complicated network of material creation and enter the blissful spiritual world to enjoy in the loving company of Krishna. That's the real happiness. Okay? And that is effectively done by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Okay. And especially in Kali Yuga, holy name of Krishna, that kirtanam, sankirtanam is the right medicine or the right way to connect to Krishna. Now, for us to appreciate the holy name and to accept take shelter of the holy name, do the kirtan of holy name, we need to do Sravanam first. Okay. Unless we hear the glories of the holy name, How can we be inspired to chant the holy names of Krishna? So we need to hear the glories of holy name. Sravanam comes first, then comes Kirtanam. So we need to go to Guru. We need to approach a spiritual master and then take his guidance and instruction. And we will be able to effectively chant the holy names of the Lord under the guidance and with the blessings of a spiritual master. Right? Kalaujanishyamananam dukha shokatamo nudam anugrahaya bhaktanam supam yamyatano dyashah. Kalaujanishyamananam, the Lord has appeared just before this Kali Yuga, and he has given us Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam at the end of the previous Yuga, so that we take shelter of these two books, Gita and Bhagavatam, and connect to him. Kalaujanishyamananam, the Lord understands Kali Yuga is going to start, and I need to descend on this planet and enact my pastimes, perform my pastimes, so that I leave enough subject matter for people to discuss and relish and do sravana. Dukha shoka tamonudam, by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, by doing sravana, our dukkha and shoka and tama will be destroyed. Anugrahaya bhaktanam sukhangam yatano dishaha. If you just remember the, if you just hear the yashah, the glories of the Lord, then we will be able to, we will develop that inspiration to connect with him. We will develop that inspiration to worship him, chant his holy names. So the Lord is giving us the process of bhakti yoga that includes sravanam and kirtanam and smaranam, so that we come out of this complicated network of material creation and be with him and love him and serve him. So here ninth canto Bhagavatam also says, yasmin satkarana piyushe yashas tirthavare sakrat shrotanjalir upasprishya dhunite karmavasanam. Karmavasanam, material desires instigate us to perform material activities, right? So material desire, material activity, and material suffering. That's inevitable. So to come out of this, we need to be informed what is our identity, what is our real source of happiness. So for that we need to hear yasmin sat karana piyushe. The pastimes of Krishna are like karana piyusha, they are like nectar for the ears. Yashas tirthavaresa krit, okay, tirtha, they are like holy places of pilgrimage. If one goes to a holy place and takes a holy bath in a holy river, one's sinful reactions are destroyed. And if one takes bath in the holy river of Krishna Katha, one's sinful propensities are destroyed. Propensities are destroyed. Sinful desires are destroyed. So Krishna Katha acts at a root level. Okay. It's not an atonement process that relieves us from reactions. It is the process of reviving our original spiritual consciousness, and with, at that level, not giving up all material desires only. Trying to pursue our material desires. So at that level, dhunute karma vasanam, all the karma vasana, material impressions are completely destroyed. So that's the power of shravana. Then we won't have to take another birth. Generally for conditioned people, what happens is, they perform material activities, they perform a lot of karma, and most people will have to enter hell because they misuse their independence, they act sinfully, and they will have to go to hell. Unless if they are pious, they are doing good activities, and they go to heaven. Okay. But kshine pumbe martya lokam vishanti. Okay. Some people may go to heaven via hell. There may be some good activity, some bad activity, right? So good activity, they may have to enjoy in heaven for a while. Bad activity, they may have to suffer in hell for a while. For a while means it could be few thousands of years, like that, something like that. Okay. So they just go between hell and heaven, and they will end up in the earthly planet. So like that, this wandering brahmanda brahman continues. Okay. So but if one takes shelter of the holy name of Krishna, even once, they don't have to go to hell. At least they will not go to hell. at least human birth is guaranteed, Prabhupada says. Okay. And at least they will get another chance to continue even if they are incomplete in their devotional service now. So, but otherwise, as we see the description of Vishnu, the conversation between Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas in front of Ajamil, the protocols and policies of hellish planets are described by Yamadutas. And the protocols of policies of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, also described by Vishnu Dutas. So this is one dharma and there is another dharma. This is material dharma that acts on judgment, punishment, penalty, reward on a material plane. And that's a transcendental dharma that operates based on compassion, forgiveness, love, accommodativeness, right? And ultimately Krishna's grace. So both dharmas we are equipped with. So which dharma we want to be operated on? So we want to be operated by a certain material dharma. See what? Yamadutas are operating by the dharma. Definitely dharma. Okay, no doubt about that. But transcendental dharma is different. Right and wrong, reward and punishment. That is material dharma. But some spiritual inclination, some chanting of the holy name, even unintentionally, then compassion comes into picture. And compassion comes into picture, right and wrong will not have much value. Okay, mercy, it comes into picture. Of all the energies of the Lord, mercy is the topmost energy. Okay, Kripa Shakti is the queen of all the energies of Krishna. So, Kripa Yasit Swabandhani. So, Ajamil could not be taken to hell. So, look, there are so many planetary systems in this universe. We keep going from one planet to another planet, one planet to another planet. Like that's what Brahmanda Bhavan people do. Right? Brahmanda Bhavan. They will do. How to stop that Brahmanda Bhavan? Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Bija. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, get the seed of Bhakti Lata, the creeper of devotion. Then you can stop this Brahmanda Brahman business. Okay? Otherwise, there are 14 planetary systems. Within this Bhumandala, there are so many dvipas, so many oceans. One may take birth on any dvipa, one may take birth in any ocean. Maybe somebody can become a fish in the liquor ocean in the next life because of the inclination. Okay? Somebody keeps drinking liquor, and then he says, no, I want an ocean of liquor. I can't handle bottles. Okay, fine, take birth as a fish in the liquor ocean. Can you imagine the situation of such a person constantly in liquor ocean as a fish because of the desire? So, like, maybe before fulfilling the desire, he may have to go to hell forever. Okay, and because he has to experience some sinful reactions, he may have to be punished in hell for a while. So, one can avoid all this mess, okay, by taking shelter of bhakti yoga. Such an easy process, very rare, extremely rare. One of the six qualities of bhakti yoga is sudurlabha. Uttama Bhakti, Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the qualities of Bhakti Yoga is Sudurlabha, extremely rare. Even Krishna says, Bahunam Janma Namante Jnana Vanmam Prapadyati. Bahunam Janma Namante, after several births, one can come to the path of Bhakti, devotional service. The rarity of Bhakti is described in Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and all. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also describes to Sanatana Goswami, how rare is an opportunity to perform bhakti. So, a fortunate person gets that. An unfortunate person doesn't get that. Most unfortunate person is one who receives it and loses it. Okay? One gets it, the good fortune, and he just misses it. He is very unfortunate. Right? So, one should not get into the very unfortunate zone. So, especially due to offenses. So, Gunhanda Bhavite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Bija. So, Bhagyavan, he is a very Bhagyavan Jiva. And Mahaprabhu also tells Pradyumna Mishra, Bhagyavan Jiva is one who has inclination to hear bhakti, hear about Krishna. So, getting Bhavya and getting Krishna basically means getting into the process of bhakti yoga, getting into the culture of Shravanam and Kirtanam, and ultimately leading to Smaranam. Okay, so one can have, so if someone takes it, then Yamaraj will not touch them. Yamaraj tells Devadutas in the sixth canto. Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanama Dheyam Chetaschana Smarati Tacharanara Vindam Krishnaya Nomamati Echira Ekadapi Tanana Vadhamasato Krita Vishnu Krityan Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanama Dheyam. Those people who have not used their tongues to chant the name of Krishna even once. Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanama Dheyam. Chetaschana Smarati Tacharanaravindam, with their minds, if they have not thought about Krishna's lotus feet even once. Okay. And Chetaschana Smarati Tacharanaravindam Jihvayano Krishnayano Namati Yachira Ekadati. Those who have not offered obeisances to Krishna even once. Tananaradham, bring those people to me. So in the sixth canto Bhagavatam, yeah, this is the shloka. In the sixth canto, third chapter, Yamadutas has become frustrated because they could not arrest Ajandal. So they go to Yamaraj and they challenge Yamaraj. Are you the boss to punish sinful people, or is there any other boss? So they just challenge him, and Yamaraj says, you first read our notice board before going to catch sinful people. If you have not written it in bold letters, write it in the notice board. Okay. Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanama Dheyam. Those people who have not chanted Krishna's name even once, those people who have not offered obeisances to Krishna even once, those people who have not thought about Krishna even once, such people you should bring. Don't bring people who are chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. Don't bring such people. So Yamaraj tells, if you are chanting Hare Krishna, why would Yamaraj come? Okay. So he says, Sukadeva Goswami, Sakrimana Krishna Padaravindayor, means even if one person remembers Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, manaha, even within my mind, even within mind, even once, they did not go to hell. Right? They don't have to see even Yamadutas, even in dreams, Sakrimanaha Krishna Padaravindayor, Niveshaya. Can someone show that? 6th canto, 1st chapter, 19th shloka. So, Sakran Manaha Krishna Padara Vindayor. Even if, Sukadeva Goswami says, even if one person remembers the Lord even once and appreciates the qualities of the Lord even once, they don't have to even see Yamadutas even in their dreams. So, yeah, this is the shloka. Nideshitam. Gunaragi Iriha. Guna means qualities of Krishna. Develop appreciation for qualities of Krishna. Then Natayanam Pasha Bhatas Chatabhatan Svapneti Pashyanti Hichirana Nishkrutaha. So Natayanam Pasha Bhatas Chatabhatan. Bhata means soldiers. The soldiers of Yamaraj cannot approach such people. Svapneti Pashyanti Hichirana Nishkrutaha. Even they can't see Yamadutas even in dreams. And as a testimonial for this one shloka, entire Ajamil episode is spoken. Okay. So, like that, one doesn't have to do Brahmanda Brahman via hell, via Yamalok. Because Yamaraj is not interested to take sinful people to, interested to take anybody to hell. But he obliged to take people to hell because they're sinful. They've been committing sinful activities. One can easily avoid hell. One can easily avoid Svargaloka. One can easily avoid Brahmaloka also. Abrahmanaloka Panaravarti Marjuna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamukritya Panarjanma Dukkhalai Mashashvatam. Krishna says, if you take my shelter, you don't have to take birth in this material world again. But wherever you take birth in the material world, whether it is Brahmaloka or Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, then Bhumaloka, Swargaloka, Pataloka, wherever you go, rebirth is guaranteed. Only if you go to Krishna Loka, rebirth is not needed. Okay. So it's clear that the complicated network of material creation, all this entire cosmology, can be conveniently avoided if you take shelter of Bhakti Yoga. Tedeva Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha Ye Sadhavaha Samadrisho Bhagavat Prapanyaham Tannopasidati Harer Gadaya Viguptan Naishamaha Naishamvayaha Nachevayaha Prabhavama Dante. So I forgot a word. Basically, in that same series of shlokas, Yamaraj tells the Yamadutas, Te Deva Siddha Parijita Pavitra Gatha, means the glories of great devotees, or even practicing devotees of Krishna, they are glorified even by Devas and Siddhas. Te Deva Siddha Parijita Pavitra Gatha, Ye Sadhavaha Samadrusha Bhagavat Prapannaha, such sadhus, Samadrusha, that equipoised saints, Bhagavat Prapannaha, those people who have completely surrendered unto the Lord, they are completely protected by the Lord. Tan nota siddhata hare gadaya bhuttan. He is informing all the Yamadutas, don't go there, don't go to such people. Why? Hala gadaya bhuttan. They are constantly protected by Lord's gada, Komodaki gada. Naishanvayam nachavayaha prabhavana bande. To punish them is beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Yamaraj cannot punish them. Time cannot punish them. Even Brahma cannot punish them. Okay. So, nothing can punish them. Even he says, Sukadeva Goswami says, that Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Udyan Nastam Chayannasau Tasyarte Yat Kshanonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. So, if someone is hearing Krishna Katha with attentiveness, Ayur Harati Vaipumsam, his eye will not go down. Means, by the rising and setting of sun god, common people's eye means the lifespan will get reduced by one day. They are one day closer to death. But in the case of devotees, it doesn't work like that, because they are absorbing their minds in Krishna Katha. Lifespan doesn't get reduced. That does not mean that they will not die, they will not become old. That means that while in the materialistic people's case, rising and setting of the sun will reduce one day in their life and bring one day closer to death. In the case of devotees, they come one day closer to Krishna. Okay, one more day closer to Krishna. I'm coming towards Krishna's lotus feet. I'm coming closer to Vaikuntha, coming closer to Goloka. So that is there. That is the passage of time in the case of devotees. So, and when they're hearing Krishna Katha, Yamaraj also sits and hears. He also wants to hear Hari Katha. So who will take them to hell? Nobody will take them to hell. Yamaraj is sitting there. Where would Yamdutas come and say, come and take another person sitting right next to Yamaraj? It doesn't happen, right? So someone who is hearing Krishna Katha, they did not go to hell. Okay, Yamaraj told this to Yamadutas very clearly. And he says, Tannota Siddhata Hare Gadaya Bhuttan. They are constantly protected by the Lord's Gada, Komodaki Gada. You know, the Lord has Komodaki Gada. It constantly circles the devotees. Okay, forming a protective circle. In Rath Yatra, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing. Then three circles were formed by devotees, so that common people do not come upon Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The three circles to protect him. So similarly, devotees are constantly protected by the circle of Komodaki Gada. So Gada will just goes like this, and then if somebody tries to come into that circle, Gada will hit their head. Yamadutas cannot approach. After they heard this whole lecture from Yamaraj, Yamadutas never approached the devotee who chanted Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. So that is the
power of Bhakti Yoga.
So, when someone takes shelter of Bhakti Yoga, they need not go to any other planet in the material world, what to speak of hell. So, they can stop this path of birth and death in all the planets. So, we can get fascinated by the structure of the universe. We can be more curious. Okay, where is Prakshadvipa? Where is Shalmari Dvipa? Where is Manasottara Mountain? Okay, how is sun moving? How are planets moving? And Prabhupada writes also about Uttarayana here. Uttarayana, Dakshinayana. Sun moving towards south, it is Dakshinayana. Sun moving towards north, it is Uttarayana. And Krishna says in the chapter of Bhagavad Gita, recently we were discussing in our Gita classes. So, someone leaves body in Uttarayana, they will go to Brahma. Okay, they will go to Brahman, that's a path of no return. If someone leaves body in Dakshinayana, they may go to Chandraloka and then they will come back. There are different protocols, like you during the Shukla Paksha, during Uttarayana, by the influence of fire god or sun god, you take, give body, then you go to Brahman. So Krishna says all that. But right in the next shloka, Krishna says, devotee student, how to worry about this. Sun may be moving in Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, and you may try to match, okay, may I die in Uttarayana, not in Dakshinayana, etc. But devotees need not worry about this. Giant holy names of Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, perform bhakti yoga, do sravanam, do kirtanam, then Krishna will take care. Right? Somebody may question, why Bhishmadev was waiting for Uttarayana? Then he is Ichchamrityu, he can die whenever he wants. So why he has to wait for Uttarayana to die? He is a devotee, he is a Mahajan, right? Not just a normal devotee. No, he was not waiting for the time Uttarayana. He was waiting for the person Uttarayana. Person Uttarayana is Krishna. So Ayana means shelter. So Uttarayana means the person Krishna who has given shelter to Uttaradevi. Mother Uttara came running to Krishna, to Krishna's shelter, right? When Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra to kill Parikshit within the womb of Mother Uttara, Uttara came running to Krishna to take his shelter. So Uttarayana is one of the names of Krishna. He has given shelter to Mother Uttara. And Uttarayana has another meaning. Krishna has taken shelter of Uttara. Because Krishna has entered within the womb of Mother Uttara, he has taken shelter of Uttara. That also means that Bhishma is waiting for Uttarayana person, not for Uttarayana time. Bhishma knows, in the heart of the hearts, Bhishma knows, Krishna is always kind to me. Although he made me fight on behalf of Duryodhana against himself, against Arjuna, just to give a message to the common people, he loves me. Now you see, Bhishma had to fight on the other side of Pandavas for multiple reasons. One reason is Krishna wanted to give a message to common people that however great you are, however powerful and influential you are, if you take the side of Adharma, you will be defeated. So Krishna wanted to give this message to whole people. So he used Bhishma as an instrument. Okay, Bhishma, I want to give this message and you are very popular, you are very influential, you are very powerful. So would you like to help me in establishing this message to people? You can say, yeah, fine, no problem, I will do that. Okay, that's one reason. Another reason is, Bhishma is definitely a Dasya Bhakta, is in a servant mode of Krishna, but he also has this Virya-rasa, okay, the mood, chivalrous mood. He wants to confront Krishna, that's how he wants to serve Krishna. Because he is in this Virya-rasa, so Krishna wanted to fulfill that desire also, and Krishna wants to enjoy the worship of Bhishma, which is done with arrows. Normal devotees may offer patram, pushpam, phalam, polam, but Bhishma offers arrows, Agni Astra, Vayu Astra, Varuna Astra. So he will throw all astras and sometimes they hit the driver's body also, not only warrior's body, driver's body also. They may hit even Krishna's body sometimes. Becomes very happy. Wow, very good. So they are in Virya Rasa. Actually, what's happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is not exactly war, but the worship of Krishna with arrows done by Bhishma. There is a special transcendental leela going on between Bhishma and Krishna. And Krishna also manifested his affection, Bhakta Vatsalyata, towards Bhishma by fulfilling his promise. Like Krishna picked up this chariot wheel, right, to charge against Bhishma, because Bhishma has taken over. Unless Krishna picks up the weapon, I will give it Arjuna. So Krishna exhibited his affection for Arjuna by picking up the weapon, and Krishna exhibited his affection for Bhishma also by picking up a so-called weapon, not exactly weapon. He picked up Rathanga Chakra. Okay, there's a beautiful shloka in Bhagavatam about this also, that concludes in Bhakti Yoga. The shloka says that Saveva Dhatu Padavim Parasya Duranta Viryasya Rathanga Pane யோமாயயா சந்ததயா நிவத்யா பஜே தத்பாத சரோஜ கந்தம் சவேத தாதும் பதவிம் பரஸ்ய. ஹூ கேன் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தி பியூரிஸ் ஆஃப் தி சுப்ரீம் லா? Powers of the Supreme Lord who holds Rathanga Chakra, means the wheel of chariot, in his hands. Yo amayaya santataya anavrutya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham. One who renders service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord without any reservations, without any motivations, and without any interruptions. Amayaya santataya anavrutya, favorably, such people can easily attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So, like that, when we take shelter of Bhakti Yoga, we need not be caught up in this complicated network of material creation that has hundreds and thousands of planets and 14 planetary systems. We can be in the loving company of the Lord. And when we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, even if we are still, we will not be affected by material energy, right? So either one is mukta or jivan mukta. Either one is in the material world as a liberated soul, or in the spiritual world as a liberated soul, okay, as a non-conditioned soul. So that happens by taking shelter of bhakti yoga, and that is most effectively done in the association of devotees. So I didn't discuss more details of creation, but I try to discuss the purpose of creation and how to get out of this creation. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful class. It was so nice. So many examples from so many places. We are very indebted to you, Prabhu. Mataji's, Prabhuji's, if you have any question, please unmute yourself and ask your questions to Prabhuji while he's here. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances on glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajas. Do you have time for answering questions, Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, so I have few basic questions, Prabhu. For the partial annihilation, right, the end of Brahma's night, that time the all the jivas go back to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? The partial, yeah, okay. And the end of the 100 years of Brahma, everybody goes back to Mahavishnu? The universe goes back to Mahavishnu? End of.
Okay, Mataji.
Can you hear?
I can't hear you.
The end of the full annihilation, right? End of 100 years of Brahma. That time then the jivas go back to
Mahavishnu's body.
Okay, so do we understand that 100 years of Brahma is as good as the life of a one material world?
Yes, yes, correct. That's the duration of one material universe.
Oh, and that's the exile of Mahavishnu, right?
That's the breathing period of Mahavishnu.
Okay, breathing period. Okay, and one more thing, Prabhu, that I wanted to get clear. You said there are few things that Krishna gives, brings up so that we can go back to, we have the desire to go back to Godhead. So one, you said material enjoyment. Please correct me wherever I'm going wrong, Prabhu. Material enjoyment, frustration, then like trying to enjoy and we get frustrated. And then you said Shastra, Acharya, and did you say anything else, Prabhu?
Incarnations. The Lord personally comes also to reclaim us. There are 5 ways in which he tries to reclaim us. 5 prominent ways. Many other ways are there. Okay, but okay. Prominently these 5 ways.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very grateful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Any other question?
Hare Krishna. I think there is a Bhakti Yoga group. Unmuted yourself to ask a question.
Yes, Mataji, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Danvat Pranam. Very nice class. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Very, very nice. And I had a question we say that even Sulpam Asi Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bayat, even little bhakti can guarantee you the human form of life. Then how did Bharat Maharaj got a deer body and Gajendra got an elephant body?
Yes. So, Bharat Maharaj got a deer body because he was attached to deer. But when I think, when we naturally ask this simple question, Bharat Maharaj went to the bhava stage, how can he just become an animal just because he was overly attached to this animal? Can't Krishna give any concession to Bharat Maharaj? How can Krishna just apply the 8.6 formula? 8.6 formula is yam yam vapa smaran bhavam kyalityante kalevaram tam tameviti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever one remembers at the time of death, one will attain that state. Krishna says clearly. However, Krishna gave a deer body to Bharat, but he did not give deer consciousness to Bharat. So even with an animal body, Bharat Maharaj was remembering Krishna, and he also remembered his past devotional activities, and he performed bhakti even within the deer body, and immediately attained a brahmana body in the dynasty of Angira Rishi. So, although materially, externally speaking, Bharat got degraded from human body to animal body, but spiritually speaking, deer Bharat is more advanced than King Bharat. And Jada Bharat is more advanced spiritually than dear Bharat. So on a spiritual level, Bharat is going towards Krishna only. So materially something may happen. Materially, externally speaking, some devotee may get a animal body, and some devotee may be cursed to die within 7 days like Parikshit. Some devotees' property may be taken and sent into forest like Pandavas. Somebody may be cursed to become a demon, not even a deer, but demon, like Chitraketu Maharaj became Vritrasura. So externally, a devotee may undergo a lot of calamities or reversals or some other difficulties. But on a spiritual plane, they are coming closer to Krishna. Demon Vritrasura is more spiritually advanced than Vidyadhara Chitraketu. Deer Bharat is more spiritually advanced than King Bharat. Gajendra received the mercy of the Lord more than Indrajana Maharaj did in the previous life, right? So on a spiritual plane, the Lord is kind to them, affectionate to them. On a material plane, they must have encountered some external reversals. That is only to intensify their longing for bhakti. That is only to show their tolerance and greatness to the whole world. My devotees are very tolerant. They never give up my bhakti, even when they are subjected to hundreds and thousands of reversals. Okay, Bali Maharaj, he has given everything to the Lord, Vamanadev, and Vamanadev has arrested him. Okay, hey, you have not given my third step. You should be arrested. You should go to hell. You should go to lower planets. So he got Varunapasa and then arrested him. Okay, so we need to understand that the Lord may sometimes become a little strict, but that strictness is done with a lot of sensitivity, with a lot of love, a lot of affection, and for a purpose. Purpose to intensify the devotion of the devotee, and also to announce the glory of the devotee to all of us, and also to give a caution note to all of us that we need not do their mistake. Okay, Bharat got overly attached to a deer. So we should, by knowing the incident of Bharat, we will be a little careful. Okay, we can show compassion, but not at the cost of our spiritual practices. Okay, this much lesson we can take. Chitraketu Maharaj commented on Shiva and he became a demon, Vritrasura. Definitely, Vritrasura is more spiritual advanced than Vaikuntha within one lifetime. Not even one lifetime. Within one lifetime, he only engaged in one fight. There is no baby Vritrasura and then growing up and then living for 100 years or 1000 years. Not even like that. He came out of sacrificial fire, entered the battlefield, killed by Indra and went into Vaikuntha. So, but that gives us a caution note that we should not comment on senior devotees. Okay. So Shiva was a senior devotee and Chitraketu Maharaj commented on him, criticized him with a good intention, but he was a little bold to publicly criticize Shiva. So that was a mistake and the Lord taught a lesson. Okay. So that was also to kind of purify slight anarthas in the devotees' hearts. Okay. That's the only thing. Otherwise, the Lord's affection there is no compromise in the Lord's affection. Apicha Chuduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhurva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. Even if a devotee commits most abominable activity, the Lord is willing to forgive such devotees. What to speak of small mistakes done by devotees? The Lord sometimes may give heavy penalty to devotees for small mistakes, but they are apparently heavy penalties, but at heart, there is no compromise in the Lord's love for those devotees, right? We should be rest assured that Krishna loves us, but we should not also take undue advantage of Krishna's mercy and forgiveness and whimsically and purposefully commit mistakes. But at the same time, we should have that faith and trust in Krishna's protection. Okay, we may encounter so many difficulties. It's okay. That does not mean Krishna doesn't love me. He loves me. Right? He loves me. He's giving me difficulties so that I intensely remember him. Or maybe I must have done some mistake and he's purifying me by giving this reaction. That should be the disposition. Does it make sense, Prabhu, whoever has asked the question?
Yes, Prabhu, this is Vrindavan Vijayadas. Thank you, Prabhuji. So this statement that even if you do little bhakti or your next birth as a human birth is guaranteed may not be applicable all the time?
Now, you see the spirit of the statement more than taking the literal perspective of it. So, yes, in one sense, one may get human birth. Even little bhakti, if one performs, that can save from greatest danger, and Prabhupada explains that greatest danger is to glide down to lower species. Okay. But in lower species, what's happening? So gliding down to lower species happened in the case of Bharat, but he did not have the consciousness of lower species. Bharat Maharaj got the deer body, but he did not get the consciousness of a deer. The real gliding down to lower species is to become like a deer with the consciousness of a deer, means full ignorance. Only eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Only ahara nidra bhaymethunam cha, but without any dhammo hitesha adhikya visesha. But in Deer Bharat's case, Deer Bharat's devotion is much, much more than a human being's devotion. So, although he got an animal body, that did not have any impact on his spiritual consciousness. We need to see the spirit of the statement. Spirit of how Krishna dealt with our Bharat. Okay, Prabhu, does it answer your question?
Beautiful answer, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment? Or shall we conclude?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Prabhuji. I did have a question, Prabhu. You were talking about how one of the most important energies of Lord Krishna is his mercy. But we also look to Srimati Radharani for her mercy, because without her mercy, we cannot attain Lord Krishna's shelter. So please elaborate on that, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So Krishna is merciful, definitely, but Radharani is more merciful. And when Radharani recommends a devotee, even Krishna has his opinions, he has to keep aside his opinions and Vishnu Lokanamra Padma Charchite Himadrija Pulo Maja Virincha Javara Prade. So she gives shelter to Ananta Koti Vaishnavas. She is the supreme shelter of all devotees. So whatever mercy that Krishna shows is definitely Kamva Dayalam Sharanam Vrajema There is no one more merciful than Krishna. But considering Radharani as the Swarupa Shakti of Krishna, and considering the non-difference between Radha and Krishna, and Krishna is being merciful, we can give credit to Radharani. So we can give more credit to Radharani. Okay, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful answer. There are very, very beautiful comments in the chat, Prabhuji. And also, Gaurangi Mataji has a question. Prabhuji, do you have time?
Okay, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It's just, if it's not too much, if you can quickly run down the list of the five ways in which Krishna brings us closer to him. If there's too much, I know. It's okay.
I didn't get much. I didn't understand what you said.
Yes, there. During the class, I think you mentioned that there were five ways in which Krishna brings us closer, you know, to him. Can you just go through that list quickly?
Okay. Enjoyment. Because the living being has a curiosity to enjoy in a material plane by imitating Krishna or competing with Krishna, Krishna gives that opportunity to us. Okay, fine. Fulfill your curiosity. So that enjoyment, material enjoyment, is one way of reclaiming him. Because probably the Lord forces bhakti upon us. He doesn't do that. Okay. It's like interfering with our independence. So Krishna doesn't interfere with that independence. He says, okay, fine, you want to enjoy, okay, do it. So that enjoyment is one way. Second is frustration.
But enjoyment, that seems to alienate us from him. Not bring...
No, not alienating. I gave an example also, right? When mother is giving toys to a child to do some imitation cooking, mother does not want to avoid the child. Mother is just responding to the curiosity or independent mentality of the child. Okay, because he's so adamant, think, okay, fine, play for some time. Okay. So if Krishna wants to neglect us, why would he stay in our heart as super soul? He never wants to neglect us. I mentioned this in the class also. Even if living entity commits abominable and sinful activities and becomes insect or a roaming stool also, Krishna stays within the heart. So he giving us opportunity to enjoy is in response to our adamant nature and intense desire to enjoy separately from him. Right? He's being empathetic.
Yes, but this enjoying separately, right? To me, that's like alienation. That's like, you know, that's not
bringing us. We alienate ourselves. It's not that Krishna wants to alienate us or avoid us. We try to avoid his company, and Krishna is like responding to that mentality, and okay, fine, you just do this. But he will continue to oversee as a super soul, Paramatma, not as Bhagavan.
But then how do you say that giving us facility for enjoyment brings us closer to him? How do you say that?
Now, there are four other ways also. So it's
no,
like
but a process. This way, but this particular way.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing how in this particular way that's bringing us closer to him.
Okay. He is bringing us closer to him because that enjoyment leads to frustration. Without enjoyment, where is frustration? without an attempt to enjoy separate from Krishna, where is the need for frustration? So enjoyment is one stage, and that leads to the second stage of frustration, and that helps us to come to realize that this is not a place for us. And that also is not complete. Frustration, many people get frustrated, but how many frustrated people come to Krishna, right? So that frustrated people should also take shelter or to get assistance from scriptures, from acharyas, and then they will come to Krishna. Okay, Mataji. So that's enjoyment on a material plane also, the kind of leads us eventually from another sense, enjoyment and material pain takes us away from Krishna. That is definitely clear. Okay. That Krishna is giving this material enjoyment or creating the material world to reclaim us. Ultimately, it leads to lotus feet of Krishna. Ultimately, it's meant to lead to the lotus feet of Krishna, provided we take shelter of the other items.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, so the frustration that comes to enjoyment, that's the first one. And then the other four.
Acharyas. Enjoyment, frustration, acharyas, then also incarnations of the Lord and scriptures.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
And the devotee nicely said, sometimes we require a kick by Maya leading us to face Krishna. Another comment is, Prabhuji, as a teenager, how to start studying Prabhupada's books while studying his guide? Okay. Basically, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. So, Krishna encourages us to perform our regular duties. If we are students, we need to study. If we are teachers, we need to teach. If we are pilots, we need to drive flights. If you are carpenters, we need to do woodwork. If you are cooks, we need to cook. So we can do our dharmas or our regular activities to earn our livelihood, material duties. But we can also parallelly do bhakti, and specifically in this current situation, current question, how to study Prabhupada's books while studying our regular subjects. Yeah, actually student life is the best time to study, because that fire of study is there, and that and that habit of study and culture of study, the age for study and the ability to grasp things and remember things is there. That's the best time to utilize that opportunity. So we can balance it, because most of the times when we sit to study, say 1 hour we are sitting to study, if we don't completely focus that our mind in that 1 hour, we will not get best out of that 1 hour. If you are distracted, like our 1 hour study could be equivalent to 10 minute study. If you are focusing, our 1 hour study is equivalent to 3 hour study. Okay. And that, see, I can speak a lot on this. Recently we had this art of studying and teaching scriptures course. So, but I will tell one thing now. That concentration is one thing. To give just one effective tip, how we manage the morning time, say 3:30, 4 o'clock till 7 or 8, where we are fresh, just got up from sleep, and mind is fresh, and mind has great ability to concentrate and immediately grasp things. If you are reading or writing or chanting or worshipping, that's the best time. So whether in student life or even other times also, if we can effectively utilize that morning 3-4 hours slot nicely, we can effectively do a lot. That say morning, say 3 to 7, those 3 hours are equivalent to 10 hours during the day. It's not an exaggeration to say that. It's not a imagination or exaggeration. So the same task that we can do in just 1 or 2 hours in the early morning hours. So we may take 4 or 5 hours to do during the daytime. So we can effectively manage our student life by utilizing the morning slot nicely. Sleeping early, getting up early morning, if you utilize for study, we create a lot of time. We can create a lot of time by utilizing the most precious moments of the day. And also we can take out unnecessary things in our schedules. Some little guhimakyati prachiti, some chatting with other friends, and that's common. But we need to also understand, how am I wasting time, or am I using time? Am I using time or misusing time? So we need to keep some safeguard over our time. Then we can easily manage other things. In our college days also, when I was in masters 10, 12 years back, so I was reading Bhagavad Gita, Second Chance, Science of Self-Realization. In that couple of years of masters, like we got to read some at least 10, 12 books of Prabhupada while doing our masters also. sometimes exam time, project time, submissions time, assignments time, it's little difficult to manage, but other times we can definitely take out at least half an hour, at least 10 minutes, at least 2 minutes. We can just take a vow, I mean, not literally, but just try to make a commitment to oneself that I will not sleep today without reading at least 2 minutes of Prabhupada's book. 2 minutes, okay? 2 minutes I can take out in whatever may be the schedule. Nowadays, we don't need books also. There is phones, and within phone also, we can have entire Veda base. So you can read just one shloka in a day, something like that. That commitment. I hope this makes sense.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, from next week onwards, there is a Telugu class of Bhagavad Gita will be going to start, right? So, are we going to learn all the 700 slokas before completing of this session, Prabhuji?
Yeah, all 700 slokas we will discuss in that course.
Okay, Prabhuji. And recitation will also be there, right?
Yes, yes, recitation will be there, surely. Every shloka will be recited, like just like in English Bhagavad Gita course only.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Because I am joining your Ratnamala class, Prabhuji, every Monday. And even before you have 30 days for 1 month, right? Before also I joined. So now I'm thinking to join this, Prabhuji. Because while I am reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, so it's something like I thought like if I understood Bhagavad Gita completely, then I can understand even more better. That's what I'm getting some feeling, Prabhuji.
Sure, Mataji. You're welcome.
The same quote I'm reading second time, third time, I'm getting new things, Prabhuji. For the first time, I'm not understanding. When I go ahead and read multiple times, then I'm understanding a little bit, Prabhuji. So I'm thinking like I need to do more practice on that. Maybe Bhagavad Gita will help me.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you. Okay, and one more thing related to previous question about study, making notes also will help. When we study, if we just note down things, and next time when we sit for study, if we just revise what we have written, that will be much easy. Okay.
Hey, Prabhu, I'm glad you brought up this course of how to study scriptures. I had taken that course with you, and I wanted to get the recording, right?
Recordings are there, Madhuri. Online.brcmumbai.com. All recordings are there. Okay, Madhuri.
Because it seemed like, I don't know, I went there, and I wasn't able to.
Oh, really? Then we can contact our admin, Mataji.
Yeah, I had reached out to Chaitanya Priya or Priya Chaitanya, but I never got answer back. I don't know.
Okay, I'll ensure. I don't know. We can mail or you can text us. So I will inform them to help you. Okay, Mataji.
Okay, Prabhu.
I will tell them immediately. Okay, shall we conclude?
Yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Thank you all for joining, and thank you to Prabhuji for such a wonderful class. We'd like to end our call here. Vancha kalpata rupyascha. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.